Time, I'd like to call up Tom's son, David. He's going to share some thoughts about his dad. Memories. I just want to open up the mic if anybody else wants to share some thoughts about Tom at this time. Well, we're gathered here to remember a wonderful man and, you know, man of love and passion, a man of faith. And, you know, as we heard, I don't know about this, of course, I don't have the history with Tom. You know, he had some problems, but, you know, the day that Tom accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that that person becomes a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. And so the Tom that I knew was that new creation. And Jesus Christ, I know, did a wonderful work in his life. He was a man of a lot of loves. He loved his family. You know, he leaves behind his wife of 23 years, Pat. Six children, Laura, David, Michael, Sheila, Sarah, Siobhan. Three stepchildren, Howard, Bernadette, Timothy, and a ton of grandchildren. Big family, but it's beautiful. A lot of people to love. And I know you all had a lot of great memories. You know, he loved people. I would describe Tom as a people person. I mean, why else do you work till you're 83? You know, I don't think he needed the money, but he loved his job. In his obituary, it was described as he was a concierge. I love that, you know. And I can imagine he just loved to interact with people, you know, greet them as they came in, you know, a friendly smile, help them with any information they needed, of course, joke with them. As you all know, he was an avid sports fan. Patriots in football, Celtics in basketball, but particularly the Boston Red Sox. I remember the first time Tom wore his Boston Red Sox jacket at the church. He walks in and I'm saying to myself, wow, this guy's a hardcore fan. And you may not know that there's a big rivalry in sports between the Red Sox and the New York Yankees and between their fans. So Tom comes in one day, he's got his Red Sox jacket on, and he used to like to sit at the table to the side of the front door. So then I see my friend Hank coming in to church, and he's a big Yankees fan. So of course, I got to go over to Hank, say hello, and say, Hank, I got somebody I want you to meet. I bring him over to Tom. I go, Tom, this is my friend Hank. He's a big Yankees fan. And then I just stepped back. I watched the show. Was that wrong? Oh, it was so funny. The two of them are going at it, you know, and Tom could dish it out, but he could take it too. He had a great sense of humor. He was a very even-keeled person. I can honestly say I never saw him angry or have a crossword for anyone. He was a gentle person with a quiet spirit. And he loved his family here at Living Water. And it was a great blessing to have him and Pat come and be a part of our fellowship. But in talking about all Tom's loves, of utmost importance was the love he has for his Savior, Jesus. And in a service like this, you know, time of remembering one who has departed from this world, there is sadness. Definitely, because a person we love is not here anymore. We can't spend time with them. We can't see them, hear them, speak with them. But there's happiness because we reflect on the times that we did have with them, the wonderful memories. But there's also a time of joy when we reflect and think about where that person is now. I'm speaking of the person that had a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And it's the joy that when we know that that person that we love so much had a personal relationship with God through his faith in his son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And Tom was a man of great faith. He not only professed to be a Christian, but more importantly, he lived it. He lived his faith. Now, I spoke of how Tom loved people. You know, the love he had for them came from his relationship with Jesus, because Romans 5:5 tells us that God pours his love into our hearts. And Tom knew what to do with that love. He poured it right back out onto others. And, you know, I think whenever I'm privileged to conduct a memorial service for a dear friend, and I share that that person is in heaven, I imagine some people think, like, well, you know, he's just saying that because he loved them. You know, he was a dear friend of his. Or how does he know where that person is? Well, I have to tell you, as a pastor, as a Christian, I could never say something if it wasn't true. It would be sending out a terrible message of false hope. I know where Tom is because of what the Word of God says. Tom professed a belief that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that Jesus Christ was his Savior, that Jesus died on the cross for his sins and rose again 3 days later. And the Bible states that if you believe on Jesus Christ, you are saved. One time a man asked this question, what must I do to be saved? And the answer he was given was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Well, then the question may arise, well, saved from what? The consequence of our sin, death. Now, I knew Tom. We all knew he wasn't perfect. But you know what? No one is. No one is. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. But God sent his son Jesus to take care of the judgment for our sin. In Romans chapter 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God shows us what we must do to be saved. But how can we know for sure where we go when we die? There's a wonderful verse which freed me up when I became a born-again Christian. Because the church that I went to as a kid, I was taught, you can't know. You can't know now while you're living where you're going to spend eternity. But you know what? God doesn't want you to have that doubt hanging over your heads. He doesn't want you to have that uncertainty. And the verse I'm talking about is 1 John 5:13. Now, John is writing to believers. He says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You may know. We can know. And it's such a great assurance. It's just a great peace that a person has when they know where they're going to spend eternity. Now, the Bible talks about the hope we have in Christ, but it's not the same meaning as we use the word hope. When we use the word hope, it means something I wish will happen. You know, I hope I'll win the lottery. I hope I get that job promotion. Hope in the Bible is different. It's a blessed assurance. It's something that is sure. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter wrote this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. It's an inheritance, and it's reserved for us, for all those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's why I can say, I know where Tom is now. I may not know exactly what he's experiencing. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about what heaven's like. Some things we can know for sure. They're revealed to us in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, where John was given a vision. And he writes this, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There should be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So we know Tom suffered greatly at the end of his life, but you know what? He's healed. That's all in the past. It's not even a memory. No sorrow, no pain. But the best thing about being in heaven is you're with Jesus for all eternity, with the one who died for us, the one who gave up everything, even his very own life, so that we would have life, forgiven life, redeemed life, eternal life. He did that for Tom. He's done that for every person here, for every person in the world. And you can have the same assurance that Tom had. You know, Tom had no fear when his time came because he knew. As I talked about that verse, we can know. He knew where he was going to go. And you can have that same assurance. The assurance that every believer in Jesus has. That when our time here on earth is over, a glorious new life is awaiting. A life of unimaginable blessing and happiness. You know, the reason we're not told a lot about what heaven is like is because the human brain cannot just comprehend it. It's a life of worshiping God with all the angels and saints that have gone before us. It's a life that will never end, but continually get better and better. And what does God require of us to obtain this life? You know, he made it so simple for us. Jesus did the hard part. What's required of us is to repent of our sins and to believe on Jesus. Believe that he died for your sins and ask him to be your Savior and Lord. And it was such a blessing to have Tom in my life and have him in the lives of so many people. But you know what? I do have that joy that he's with God. He's going to be there for all eternity. And someday when my time comes, I'll get to see him again. Pat will get to see him again. We can all have that hope. That same hope that Tom had, hope in Jesus Christ, the sure hope. Let's pray. And Father, we do thank you for the life of Tom Moffat, Lord. I thank you for the many, many ways that he touched people and he inspired people, Lord God. And I thank you for the love that I saw, the love of Jesus in his life. That he just loved to bless people, Lord, as we heard David sharing, just sending money to strangers and just acts of kindness, Lord. And he's missed, but we rejoice, Lord God, that he's with you. Thank you, Lord God, that you've made that gift of eternal life available to all. All we have to do is confess that we're sinners, which everyone is a sinner, and believe on the finished work of the cross, that Jesus Christ died for us, rose again 3 days later, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for gathering the family and friends here, and just for the memories that were shared, and just rejoicing the life Tom lived, and especially the life he's living now. And I do again, Lord God, just pray for your continued comfort and peace and strength upon the family, Lord. I know I lost my father a couple years ago and still miss him. That person will always be missed. We just thank you, Lord God, that you gave him to us. I just ask you, Lord, just comfort and strengthen and pray for that everyone here, Lord God, will have that same blessed assurance that Tom had, that Jesus is their Lord and their Savior. So thank you, Lord God, for the love you have for us. Thank you for that you first loved us while we were still sinners, Lord. You loved us. And you continue to pour out your love upon us. So I just give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.